Up next, Nerdalogs member Andrew Bentley.
Hello, I'm Andrew Bentley, and reasonably speaking, I am about 60% likely to eventually die of misadventure. You see, I grew up in Northern Virginia, in the D.C. area, straddling the Mason-Dixon line like a befuddled colossus, alternately drawing upon my Southern and Northern heritage as best fit my needs at the time. Growing up this way, I've been bequeathed a pair of very specific qualities, and it's only a matter of time before I accidentally pull the trigger on the gun my upbringing built against my temple. You see, as a Southerner, I'm possessed of a dauntless curiosity, a love for the daring exploration of life's enigmas, like, I wonder what this does, and is this turned on, and how much of this can I drink before I vomit? That proclivity in and of itself would be dangerous enough, but I'm also a child of the Beltway, and so was inculcated from an early age with the steadfast conviction, nay, principle, that I am correct, and everything I do is absolutely a fantastic idea, no matter what anyone says. It's a confidence in one's own judgment that borders on rejection of mortality. DC just does this to a person. Something in the air recodes your brain to interpret self-doubt as something less problematic, like horniness, so you can crank one out and get on with your very important day worry-free. There are countless examples. I'm reasonably sure at some point in history the following exchange took place. You know, like, gosh, Haldeman, should we be worried about the new Oval Office recording machine? Fuck you, Ehrlichman, I know what I'm doing. It's a Watergate joke. Right on the pulse. So, you see, I'm fighting against 2 centuries and 2 virulent strains of vicious American tradition. You have to view my actions through those red and blue lenses, indomitable curiosity and an almost transhumanist self-certainty, for them to make any sense. And if it gets harder to overcome with every year, despite the number of bad decisions I've made with regards to my safety, I've never had so much as an extended hospital stay or cracked bone. So in addition to everything else, I'm struggling against 26 years of positive reinforcement. Maybe if something bad had happened as a kid jumping off my roof while my parents weren't home, I wouldn't take such pride in asserting my pedestrian right of way by marching obstinately out into the crosswalk in front of traffic. Because screw them, the walk light's on and I've got groceries to buy. Even when no one's around, I have to prove to myself that I'm right. It's a sickness. It's the sort of thing that sinks ocean liners or kills supporting characters while the movie stars are yelling, "Damn it, Frank, you're out of time! Get out of there!" Maybe you still don't understand what I'm talking about. A few months back, I came home, and my apartment smelled suspiciously like gas. It's always smelled a little bit like gas. That's part of its charm, and probably... probably the reason why I can defrost chicken by just leaving it on top of my oven for 10 minutes. But this day, it smelled particularly like gas. Enough for me to question my landlord, who assured me it was because they had been refinishing the apartment below me, and that it would go away soon. Enter that second great Southern quality, not wanting to make a fuss. I returned to my foul-smelling apartment, but I couldn't let it go. The landlord had said it was safe, but he'd also said he'd check the camera footage and find out who stole my UPS package. So, a gas leak is no laughing matter. It could be dangerous. I had to do something. I had to be sure. So, I sniffed inside my oven. You know, it sure smelled like gas in there, but that could just be business as usual. So... what could I do? Leave and come back when the smell was supposed to have dispersed? Ask my landlord to come smell for himself? Call the gas company? I considered all these things, and then I wrapped myself in a fire blanket and turned the stove on. I don't know. I don't know either. I mean, I'm smarter than that, but I had to be sure. Let's go back to the cars for a second. Chicago has recently been pushing an ad campaign informing pedestrians that 3,000 people a year are hit by traffic here. Wow. That means that every year, 1 in 900 people here are hit by vehicles without necessarily running into the street as a fuck you to people who can afford cars. Okay, sure, maybe a lot of those are tourists. Or maybe it's the same 50 people getting bullseyed over and over again in some sort of mean-spirited cosmic game of darts. Still, though, the apparent odds on vehicular pummeling are pretty high. Way higher than something like a lightning strike or even being shot. You know what's even higher? Cancer. Yeah. 26,000 people a year get cancer in Cook County. Just in Cook County. A year. My great-aunt had it, my grandmother, my grandfather, my dad's had skin cancers removed with some regularity for the last 15 years. If he stands in front of the window on a sunny day, you can see the light shining through his earlobe where they took the back of it off. I like to blow things up. I like to burn things down. I like to play with knives. I've sprayed pesticides and overdosed on DXM, and once came so close to getting struck by lightning that the EMP fried my iPod. I drink too much coffee, and I eat too much bacon, and I usually forget to wash my fruit. And I'm too smart to believe in predestination. But I also can't quite believe in an ordered universe, when I can do so many stupid things and live, and a sinkhole can swallow up a kid in Florida who's only playing in his backyard. Sometimes, when I drink too much coffee, I'll start thinking about all the horrible things that could happen to me. The mutilations and maimings and illnesses and unforeseen specters of violent death plucking at my shirt sleeves with their skeletal hands. But for all the graphic imagery I conjure up, it never stays with me long. Because I turn 26 this month, and really, honestly, I never thought I'd live this long. I shouldn't be okay with this. I really shouldn't. But, and as my life gets better, it should become more and more dear to me. But, instead, maybe I take it more and more for granted. Now, I was late here today because I couldn't write an ending for this. And maybe I'm fooling myself because of the pressure, but I decided, fuck it. That's a good enough metaphor. Let's try and slip this one in. We can only control so much of our life. We can only write so much of it. And the only people who get to write the ending are suicides. So, maybe I should have a problem with the fact that I take risks. Stupid, unnecessary, dumb risks. Maybe it's bad that, you know, sometimes I have a habit of treating life like it's not a real thing. Like it's just, I can do this, and sure, whatever will happen. But I can tell you this. A year ago, I had a plan. 4 years ago, I had a plan. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, as long as I can remember, I've had a plan, a big plan for what I'm going to do with my life, what I'm going to do with the near future. Today, I sit in front of you without a plan. I don't know where I'm going to be a year from now. I also am probably happier with myself right now than I have been at any time in my life. I don't know if those two things are related. But what I can say is this, even if I get hit by a car, or fall down in the shower and bust my head open and die like that, even if I go off in the if I blow myself up in my kitchen, because I think a fire blanket is going to protect that, if any of those embarrassing, dumb, preventable things is the thing that does me in, well, I will still have this monologue here on recording on the internet serving as just a wonderful piece of irony. And as a comedian, what else can I ask for?
And I also, real fast, I want to thank Andrew Bentley for telling a story that reminds us all that sometimes handsome Adonises don't have to try as hard.